Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldar, and today Maseches Megillah, Daf Yud Beis. The first parak, Megillah Nikreis. The Zichu Maseches Megillah program has been generously sponsored by the Queen's Zichu Chabura. The majority of this stuff analyzes the psukim from the first parak of the Megillah, which covers Achashverosh's banquet to the demise of Vashti. So the Fidavs are going to focus on number one. The Talmidim of Rabbi Shimon Yechai asked, Mifnei ma nischaivu sonen she Yisrael sheba'osu dor chliya? Why did the enemies of Israel, that generation, which euphemistically refers to Israel, deserve to be wiped out? He said to them that they should give the reason, and they answered, Mifnei shenenema sudasa sheosu Russia, because they got pleasure from the suda of that Russia, referring to Achashverosh. He responded that if that was so, then only the Jews of Shushan should have deserved to have been killed, not the entire Jewish people. When they asked him for his explanation of the reason, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai answered, Mifnei shishtachavu etzelem, because they bowed down to an image of Avodah Zarah in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. When they asked why Kadosh Baruch Hu should show favoritism to them and not wipe them out for doing so, he answered that they only acted outwardly, not with their heart. So too Kadosh Baruch Hu acted outwardly to scare them and provoke them to do tshuva. As the pasuk states, Ki lo inam alibo, he does not afflict from his heart. Pointing to the Gemara analyzes the psukim regarding Vashti's suda and teaches that she also intended to act immorally with Achashverosh. When he bragged to other heads of state that Vashti was the most beautiful of all women and offered to bring her out, they consented provided that she appear without clothes to prove that she had natural beauty. The pasuk then states, V'tama'en ha-malka Vashti, and Queen Vashti refused. The Gemara says that Vashti was a promiscuous woman, and she wanted to appear. Why didn't she come? Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said, Melamed sheparka bad saras. This teaches that she broke out in saras and was embarrassed to come. A braisa taught a different reason. Ba-Gavriel ba-Asla Zanav. The Malk Gavriel came and made her grow a tail. And pointing with three, after the Gemara teaches that the Chachamim told Achashverosh that they were in no position to provide wise counsel regarding what to do with Vashti, the pasuk states, V'yomer Memuchan, and Memuchan said, a braisa taught that Memuchan was Haman. And why was he called Memuchan? Shemuchan l'poryanus, because he was prepared for punishment. Rashi explains that he was destined to be hung. Rav Kahana said, Mikan shehedyot kofetz barosh. From here we see that a common man jumps to the front. Haman advised, Lios kol ish sora babeso, that every man should rule in his house. Rava said, if it were not for the first letters that were sent out with this command, there would be no remnant or survivor from the enemies of Israel, referring to the Jewish people. When people read them, they asked, what kind of order is this? Pshita afil karka bevesi pardesh tochave. This is Pashit. Even a weaver should be the commander in his own home. Since people ridiculed this letter, they didn't take the king seriously and didn't act immediately on the second letter's command, which was to destroy the Jewish people. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Talmid Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai asked, Mifnei man yischayu sonen she Yisrael sheba osu dor chliya, why did the enemies of Israel, that generation, which euphemistically refers to Israel, deserve to be wiped out? He said to them that they should give the reason. And they answered, Mifnei shenenu mesudasu sheosu Russia, because they got pleasure from the suda of that Russia, referring to Achashverosh. He responded that if that was so, then only the Jews of Shushan should have deserved to have been killed, not the entire Jewish people. When they asked him for his explanation of the reason, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai answered, Mifnei shishtachavu etzelem, because they bowed down to an image of Avodah Zarah in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. When they asked why Hashem should show favoritism to them and not wipe them out for doing so, he answered that they only acted outwardly, not with their heart. So too, Kadosh Baruch Hu acted outwardly to scare them and to provoke them to teshuvah. As the pasuk states, Ki lo inam alibo, he does not afflict from his heart. Pointing to the Gemara analyzes the psukim regarding Vashti's suda and teaches that she also intended to act immorally with Achashverosh. When he bragged to other heads of state that Vashti was the most beautiful of all women and offered to bring her out, they consented provided that she appear without clothes to prove that she had natural beauty. The pasuk then states, V'tama'in ha-malka Vashti, and Queen Vashti refused. The Gemara says that Vashti was a promiscuous woman and she wanted to appear. Why didn't she come? Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said, Melamed sheparcha bat saras. This teaches that she broke out in saras and was embarrassed to come. A braisa taught a different reason. Ba-Gavriel ba-Asala Zanav. The Malk Gavriel came and made her grow a tail. And point number three, after the Lord teaches that the Chachamim told Achashverosh that they were in no position to provide wise counsel regarding what to do with Vashti, the pasuk states, V'yomer Memuchan, and Memuchan said, a braisa taught that Memuchan was Haman, and why was he called Memuchan? Shemuchan l'paronus, because he was prepared for punishment. Rashi explains that he was destined to be hung. Rav Kahana said, Mikan shehedyot kofetz barosh. From here we see that a common man jumps to the front. Haman advised, Lios kol ish sora baveso, that every man should rule in his house. Rava said, if it were not for the first letters that were sent out with this command, there would be no remnant or survivor from the enemies of Israel, referring to the Jewish people. When people read them, they asked, what kind of order is this? Pshita, afil karka baveso parshtei kol havi. This is Pashit. Even a weaver should be the commander in his own house. Since people ridiculed this letter, they didn't take the king seriously and didn't act immediately on the second letter's command, which was to destroy the Jewish people. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Yud Beis, and our standard Siman is 12 brothers, 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers' slapstick perm spiel opened, with 9 of them taking a bow to a golden image, when suddenly one dressed as Vashti with a huge tail appeared, which Memuchan tripped over as he jumped to give advice to the king. Once again, it's slow motion. The 12 brothers, 12 brothers, that must be more on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers' slapstick perm spiel opened, with 9 of them taking a bow to a golden image, which reminds us that Rav Shimon Yochai told his Talmudim that the reason the Jews deserved to be wiped out was not because they attended the Suda of Achashverosh, because then only the Jews of Shushan should be punished. Rather, it was because they bowed down to an Avodah Zor in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, since they only acted outwardly. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu acted outwardly with them and only intended to provoke them to do the Teshuvah. So, the 12 brothers' slapstick perm spiel opened, with 9 of them taking a bow to a golden image, when suddenly one dressed as Vashti with a huge tail appeared, which reminds us of Vashti wanted to appear without clothes before Achashverosh and all the noblemen, but she refused to come either because she got Tziras or Gavriel came and made her grow a tail. So, the 12 brothers' slapstick perm spiel opened with 9 of them taking a bow to a golden image, when suddenly one dressed as Vashti with a huge tail appeared, which Memuchan tripped over as he jumped to give advice to the king. Which reminds us, Memuchan is Haman, and he was called Memuchan because he was Muchan Uparanus, destined for punishment. He jumped to give advice that a letter should be sent saying that every man should be the ruler in his own home, which was ridiculed by everyone who read it, which led them not to take the second letter seriously. So once again, the 12 brothers' slapstick perm spiel opened, with 9 of them taking a bow to a golden image, when suddenly one dressed as Vashti with a huge tail appeared, which Memuchan tripped over as he jumped to give advice to the king. All right, so now it's time for a 4 blot back Chazara. Daf Ches, so the Simur Daf Ches is Challah. So here goes. The baker, baker, Challah, that must mean we're on Daf Ches. The baker closed his shop to shoulder his responsibility to bring up a replacement for his neder, which reminds us that the Mishnah stated that there's no difference between Nedarim and Nedavos, except in the case of Nedarim, one is responsible for them, meaning that in the event that the animal set aside as a carbon dies or becomes lost, the person is liable to bring another one in its place. And in the case of Nedavos, one is not responsible for them. This is learned from the word Alav in the Pasuk. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said, since he said Alai upon me, it's as if he said, the burden of responsibility is on his shoulders. So, the baker closed his shop to shoulder his responsibility to bring up a replacement for his neder, as well as a pair of birds for becoming a zav with 3 emissions, which reminds us the 3rd mission states, Ein bein zav arosh derius l'rosh shalosh el karbon. There's no difference between a zav who sees 2 emissions and a zav who sees 3 emissions, except for the chiv to bring a karbon. A zav who has shalosh rios must bring a pair of bird offerings after counting 7 clean days. The pasuk mentions 2 emissions and calls a person tame, and it mentions 3 emissions and calls a person tame. So if he's already tame after 2 emissions, why is it necessary to call him tame after 3 emissions? The Gemara answers, shtayim tuma v'shalosh a carbon. This teaches that the 2 emissions make him tame, whereas the 3 emissions make him chayiv in a carbon. So the baker closed his shop to shoulder his responsibility to bring up a replacement for his neder, as well as a pair of birds for becoming a zav with 3 emissions. Didn't forget to send a get well challah to his Matsura Muchat friend with long hair and torn garments, which reminds us that the 4th mission teaches that the only difference between a Matsura Muskar, a confined Matsura, and a Matsura Muchat, a confirmed Matsura, is Priya Ufrima, letting his hair grow and rending his garments. Rava says that the source for the distinction that a Matsura Muskar is pater from both is derived from the pasuk that states, Matsarua Asher Bohanega, and the Tsarua that is in him the affliction, his garment shall be torn and the hair of his head shall be uncut. This implies that Misha Sarasa Tkuya Bagufo, that only the one whose Saras is in his body and therefore requires healing, is required to tear his clothing and grow his hair long. Daf Tes, and the Simur Daf Tes is a teapot. So here goes. The 72 cups of tea, that must be around Daf Tes, teapot. The 72 cups of tea served to 72 rabbis in separate rooms, which reminds us it was only permitted to write a Sefer Torah in Greek because of the incident with Talmai HaMelech when he put the 72 Zakenim in 72 separate rooms to translate the Torah into Greek. So, the 72 cups of tea served to 72 rabbis in separate rooms were filled from a huge teapot in a tent with beautiful Greek writing on it, which reminds us that Rabbi Yochanan said that Rav Shimon Gamliel's reason for permitting the Torah to be written in Greek and not in any other language is based on the pasuk that states, Yafdel kimo yefes v'yishkon ba'ohol Hashem. May Hashem expand Yefes, and he will dwell in the tents of shame. This means, Dvarav shall Yefes yuba ol Hashem. The words of Yefes, referring to his language, shall be in the tents of shame. So, the 72 cups of tea served to 72 rabbis in separate rooms were filled from a huge teapot in a tent with beautiful Greek writing on it. by a high priest with anointing oil on his head who knew if he made and followed one wrong psak, he'd have to offer up his prized bull. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states there's no difference between the Kohen Gadol anointed with the Shemen of Mishcha and the Kohen Gadol invested through the wearing of additional begadim, except the bull that comes for all the mitzvahs. Rashi explains that a Kohen Gadol that was anointed, who then errs in psak in halacha, where the punishment is karis when done amazed, and then acts in accordance with his wrong psak, he must bring a bull as a chattas. And the Gemara infers from here, when it comes to the par Yom Kippur, in the Siris Eifa, both the anointed Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Gadol invested by the additional begadim are identical, and that these offerings apply to both. Daf Yud. So the Simur Daf Yud is a minion of Yidden. So here goes. The minion of Yidden. Minion of Yidden. That must more on Daf Yud. The minion of Yidden gathered for the Megillah reading in an ancient temple in Alexandria, which reminds us, the Mishnah state that the Kedusha of Shiloh has a heter after it, which means that after its destruction, Bamos were permitted again, whereas the Kedusha of Yerushalayim has no permit after it, meaning after its destruction, Bamos are still prohibited. The Gemara brings Rabbi Yitzchak, who said that he heard that one may bring offerings in the Temple of Chonyo nowadays, since the base of Mikdash is destroyed. Rabbi Yitzchak holds like those that base Chonyo was not a base of Avodah Zorah, and he also holds Kedusha Yerushalayim Kishul Shaitavol Kishul Asim Lavo, that the initial sanctification of Yerushalayim and the base of Mikdash was for as long as the temple stood, but not a Kedusha for all future time. But Rabbi Yitzchak eventually retracted his opinion based in part because of the Mishnah. So the minion of Yidden gathered for the Megillah reading in an ancient temple in Alexandria just got out the first two words of Vayihi Bimei, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a principle based on the opening pasuk in the Megillah, that wherever the phrase Vayihi Bimei, and it was in the days, is used, that a painful episode is being introduced. So the minion of Yidden gathered for the Megillah reading in an ancient temple in Alexandria just got out the first two words of Vayihi Bimei, when a painting of the ancient kingdom of Babylon fell to the floor with a dead queen in the picture. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yonasan opened his shiur on the Megillah with the following pasuk: "V'kamti alem hikrati lebavo shem v'sher v'nin v'nechet nu mashem." For I will rise up against them and cut them off from Bavo, name, relative, offspring, and descendants, says Hashem. Name, Zeaksav, this refers to abolishing the Babylonian script. Relative refers to their language disappearing. Offspring refers to their kingdom. Venechid and descendant refers to Vashti, who is a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. Daf Yudolf. So the Simur Daf Yudolf is stars like the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. The Jewish superheroes with the stars of David on their shields. Stars of David? That must be on Daf Yudolf. Stars. The Jewish superheroes with the stars of David on their shields. Which reminds us, the Gemara continues bringing the psukim that various Amoraim used to begin their shiurim on the Megillah. Shmuel brought the following pasuk: I will have not been disgusted by them, nor will I have rejected them to destroy them. He darshaned out how in every galus, the Kodesh Baruch Hu would appoint various leaders to save us, and in the future, no one will be able to rule over us. So the Jewish superheroes with the stars of David on their shields, standing before their king who ruled the upper worlds as well, which reminds us, Shlomo HaMelech was not included in the list of three kings that ruled the entire world, either because he was deposed by the demon Ashmedai and never regained his malchus, or he did regain his malchus, but his malchus was qualitatively different in that he also ruled the upper beings, meaning the demons. So the Jewish superheroes with the stars of David on their shields, standing before their king who ruled the upper worlds as well, laughed as they watched two silly emperors fumble and miscalculate 70 years, which reminds us, the Gemara goes through how Belshazzar miscalculated the 70 years by counting from the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, and how Achashverosh miscalculated when he counted from the beginning of Gaul's bubble, which began with the exile of Jehoiachin 8 years later. The count of the 7 years began with the destruction of the base of Mikdash. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron, wishing you a great day and great learning.